You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls is still disgusted by my rye toast take. As she's hearing that clip, she gave a look of like, ugh, rye toast. It's great.
Rye's trash.
It's great.
In the hierarchy of toast, it's by far Mr. Irrelevant. Last draft pick.
It's great.
No. I'd rather go CeCe's route and have pumpernickel over rye.
Pumpernickel's good too.
It's fine.
Such a toast. What a toast snob she is.
Rise,
this is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle. CeCe back with us tomorrow. Coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron. All right, we got a lot going on today. We got Otani speaking with the media later today.
Yep.
We have Kim Mulkey going off on the Washington Post, LSU women's basketball coach, on whatever the story is that's coming out next. And of course, the NCAA tournament, men's and women's ongoing. The men's, very chalky right now, and I love it. There is no Cinderella. NC State is probably the closest thing to a Cinderella. You have 12 of the top 16 seeds still alive. The favorites on Saturday and Sunday in the men's side, on the men's side, 15-1. The only upset, Clemson over Baylor. And again, Clemson is an ACC team. NC State is an 11 seed, an ACC team. It's hard to look at them as a Cinderella, like we have looked at Florida Atlantic from last year, Florida Gulf Coast in the past, St. Peter's, Butler, VCU, Wichita State back in the day. Like these schools that are just kind of more of the Cinderella types. And Saturday and Sunday, the average margin of victory is 16.1 points per game. The largest since 1975, Smalls, which means we're getting the best teams playing for a championship. I love it.
And that these teams have dominated on their way to this point.
Correct. And you hate it.
I don't hate it because my team is still in the mix. So I appreciate that the higher seeds are advancing.
And Illinois' head coach will join us in the 9 a.m. Eastern hour, Brad Underwood.
Can't wait to talk to one of the best coaches in America, Brad Underwood, head coach of the Fighting Illini at 9:30. Eastern time. We will be tuned in. But yes,
Well, I would hope so. We're the ones talking to him.
Correct. I will definitely be tuned in. I will be here facilitating that conversation. It's Monday, Evan. Leave me alone. And I'm in a foreign chair today. I feel very discombobulated. But back to what I was saying. While I do think that we are going to get the best teams in the country and a high level of competition, part of the allure of March Madness and what makes this event different than any other postseason that we have in the major sports in our country is that anything can happen. That we do have these double-digit seeds that get hot at the right time and go on a run. And we as America love an underdog. We love rallying around Loyola Chicago. We love rallying around Butler. It's something that makes the tournament special and unique, and I think that's lacking a little bit this year.
Yeah, but it also results a lot of times in terrible games in the biggest of games. I remember sitting there in Atlanta, I want to say 2006. It was the Final Four, and Florida played George Mason, and Florida pummeled them.
Yeah.
And that's not a game that I should see or anyone should see in the Final Four. That's the thing. It always leads to these games where they get blown out because at some point you realize, like, okay, they're not as good as a Florida, a UConn this year, obviously, North Carolina, Houston, Purdue. And I think now not having the Cinderellas is actually a great thing because you're going to see games, if you look up and down the bracket, UConn-San Diego State rematch from last year's national championship game. Your Illinois squad against Iowa State, a team that's been good all year.
That's going to be a great matchup.
UNC and Alabama. Okay, sure, Alabama struggled a little bit against Grand Canyon, but the reality is Alabama's been a good team all year out of the SEC. Clemson and Arizona. Houston and Duke. That's a heck of a matchup where Duke is not a favorite against Houston. NC State, maybe a Cinderella, right? That's the closest thing maybe we have against Marquette. Purdue and Gonzaga. Gonzaga was a 5 seed playing against a 4 seed at Kansas, who we're going to get to in a second. And that wasn't an upset. Gonzaga was favored in that. And then Creighton and Tennessee, again, these are teams that have been good all year. So just like in other sports, when you like the whole purpose of the regular season is to determine who is the best team. And then the postseason should take those top tier teams and produce a winner. You want to see all of these others, you would rather, well, bad example, I was going to say see Duquesne win, but they played against Illinois, so let me use a different one. You'd rather see Grand Canyon survive and get pummeled by North Carolina this week?
You don't think it would have been fun if Oakland could have continued on and we could have cheered for them?
Oakland, yes, just because their coach came on our show. So, like, I'm going to be
but
biased.
It's a great story.
Okay.
So he's been there for 40 years. They have this. Wouldn't it be great if we could continue to talk about them and they went on this really special run? That's what makes this awesome,
yes.
Evan. It's the whole point of it.
Yes, but what happens then if they
James
get this?
James Madison beating Wisconsin is part of why we love the NCAA tournament.
Well, speak
tournament.
For yourself on that.
Well, yeah, obviously that's a bad example because you're a Wisconsin grad. But everybody outside of Wisconsin loves things like that. We love watching teams take down the bigger seeds. We like to see David slay Goliath, and that doesn't happen in the postseason in other sports oftentimes.
But Smalls, okay, so David was slaying Goliath. James Madison beating Wisconsin. Then they played Duke, and they got pummeled.
Yes, they did.
They got pummeled. This is why I'm excited about Thursday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday of next week, or this upcoming week, because we have the best teams all year still alive. Not the teams that, outside of NC State, not the teams that got hot now. You said you don't know where people are on this in terms of do they love the Cinderella or hate the Cinderella.
Yeah.
We'll open it up to you guys at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. There was also some controversy around a coach that has now been eliminated from the postseason. That is Bill Self, former Illini head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He and his team get eliminated by Gonzaga and was asked a question after the game as to what's next for Self and Kansas.
Competitor that you are, I'm sure this will stick with you, but I mean, is it something you already feel like I got to start thinking about next season, or you got to absorb this for a little while?
Well, I think for the last month I've been thinking about next season, to be honest. Not in the moments during the game, but obviously we had eight guys on scholarship and we play, I mean, that were healthy there late, and injuries are part of the game, so that's not an excuse, but we could have done a much better job as a staff putting more guys out there that we could play, and so that's something that I've thought about for a long time.
So Self is getting ripped all weekend for saying I've been thinking about next year for the last month. And initially for me, as somebody that ignorantly, before all the injuries, picked Kansas to go to the finals and lose to North Carolina, I got annoyed with that too. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That, like, if this guy didn't care about this year, why am I caring about this year?
Right.
That's not what he's saying. What he's basically saying is, NCAA, thanks a lot. Because you open the transfer portal before the NCAA tournament starts, that every one of these coaches simultaneously has to get their teams ready for now and the future as it's going on, because guys are going and transferring all different kinds of places that if you're still playing in some ways, you're actually hurt by this. And I think if you actually think about what Bill Self is saying, I'm not going to name names on this, but we had an analyst off air tell us that there is a player on a certain team in college basketball that he has heard is already committed somewhere else next year, but he's on a different team right now. And this team was in the NCAA tournament. Well, that's what Self is saying, that because of all the injuries, because he knew that they weren't necessarily going to win it all this year, he has no choice but to think about next year.
Yes, but I still don't think that that is the forum with which to share that information. Because if you're publicly saying in the wake of a loss of you getting bounced from the tournament that you've been thinking about next year for the past month, well, if you're doing that, where does that leave your players? How locked in have they been? And isn't that your job as their head coach, despite having injuries and obstacles that you need to overcome in the tournament, to get them mentally locked in to play and to advance in the tournament? That's the point of all of this. And if you're not 100% committed to what is happening right now, how do you expect your players to be?
But do you believe that Self is not 100% committed because of those comments?
He said he's been thinking about next year for the past month.
Isn't that his job though, Smalls? Hasn't the NCAA made that his job? It's not like when you and I were growing up where season ends, now the next season begins, and you're not worrying about the transfer portal, which I'm not saying that the transfer portal shouldn't exist. I'm saying the timing of it is horrific.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's not at the end of the season. It's at the end of the regular season.
while you should be thinking about that in part, you should also be delegating that stuff to other people on your staff, because you're in the middle of the tournament, which is the ultimate goal, is to cut down the net and win a banner, especially at a place like Kansas. And I think by thinking ahead and not being in the moment and not pouring every ounce of your time, energy, resources into helping your team win in the moment, that's a disservice to them. That's a disservice to the university. It's a disservice to the fans. And I don't think that even if the truth is you were thinking about next year because you didn't think you had it this year, that you should be admitting that out loud.
You're very emotional about this.
I don't usually talk this much. My voice is going.
Smalls is very emotional about the Kansas players leaving.
It's a disservice.
It's very hard for her. Oh, Bill Self. You know,
I like Bill Self.
I heard Danny Hurley, head coach of UConn, on with Michael Kay on ESPN New York 98.7 last week, or right before the tournament. They were asking him about the transfer portal. And Hurley had a great answer that I think that would have been a better version of this for Self. He said, of course, we're always thinking about all of this stuff, but I leave that to my general – he used the words general manager, Tom Moore, who's an old UConn assistant, was a Quinnipiac head coach we brought back, and that's his job. My guess is Self has someone that does that too, and that maybe in that moment, instead of actually answering that question that way, maybe the better answer is to literally say, yes, of course we're thinking about next year, but that's why I have Michelle Smallman as the general manager of my team in order for – us to look ahead to next year while trying to win it all this year. I'm sure there was a better answer. I don't believe that, like, Bill Self was not all in on the NCAA tournament, though.
He just told you he wasn't. He just told you he wasn't. He said, I've been thinking about next year for months. So how can you be all in on the tournament if your focus is elsewhere?
Well, again, I don't think he should have said it that way. Because you have every right to say what you just said based on his words.
If Illinois gets bounced from the tournament, and that's what Brad Underwood had to say, and I love Coach Underwood, I would be mad. I would feel a type of way about that.
Frank in West Palm watching on ESPN2. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Glad you caught me by surprise there. I was on hold for a while. I went to bed last night. Long story short, I'm 71. I've probably seen 60 of these tournaments. I went to bed last night, and I said to myself, man, there was just something missing with this tournament. And you guys brought it up this morning. No excitement. No excitement. I mean, very little. I agree with Smalls on the fact that that's part of this tournament. And this goes back, I go back to Texas Western days, 1965, when they won. It's just part of the tournament, and I think that it's missing it. You got 2 weeks left, like you said. Hopefully, there'll be better games.
It's definitely. But Frank, and thank you for the phone call. It's definitely missing it because I don't believe most people can wrap their brains around a school that they've heard of and know about and can name players from historically or coaches from, i.e., NC State, the late great Jim Valvano. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe that people trigger the Cinderella thought. It's usually the school of where is that? What conference is that in?
Oakland's and where? It's not in California. It's in Michigan.
Right. And that's – so we don't have that. But instead, we're going to have the best teams competing for a championship. Isn't that the point of sports?
It is the point of sports. But this specific postseason tournament is made special in part because the unpredictable happens. So when you get a big platter of predictable, it does feel like something's missing.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is your telephone number to join the show. Are you happy or are you mad with the NCAA tournament so far based on the fact there are no Cinderellas left, right? There's no Cinderellas. I'm cool with it. Smalls thinks something is missing. All right, coming up, two players have allegedly asked out before ever getting in. We'll talk about that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Do you want to out Pat and Nuno?
Yeah.
You do?
Always. Okay. I don't know what you're referencing, but my answer is yes.
Javonte, I don't think, is a part of this. So there are a lot of people out there that will relate to this. So during the NCAA tournament and the NBA playoffs, everybody's watching ESPN, of course, but also watching TNT and TBS where the games are.
Oh, yes.
So the NBA playoffs forever was a thing where you'd have TNT on and then you'd wake up in the morning and be like, what am I watching? Let me get back over to Unsportsmanlike. Let me get back over to Get Up or SportsCenter. Like, let me get back where I'm supposed to be here. And it's always Charmed. And Pat Costello has become obsessed since it's left on in the studio that they're in from the previous shows watching the tournament with watching Charmed, a 90s or early 2000s television show, on mute every day.
Yes.
So hold on. Today, it wasn't left on Charmed.
He actually went out of his way.
You had to go in and change the channel to Charmed.
Yes.
Wow, you are committed.
It's an electric show to watch on mute, I have to say. It's really funny to watch on mute when you have no idea what's happening.
What makes it electric?
Because stuff just will, they'll be talking and talking and talking, and then all of a sudden someone will like burst into flames out of nowhere, and you're like, what just happened? Like, this is insane. I can't hear any of it, but it's a great show.
Pat, be honest. Have you lost any focus on our show by watching Charmed?
I don't know what's happened in the first hour and 15 minutes.
But what's going on in Charmed?
Yeah. Tell us.
Well, currently they're in an ice cave.
Oh.
I don't know why.
How they got. Do you have closed captioning on?
Nope.
Oh, wow. So you are really flying blind on this.
Javonte's all in on it, too. He's pretending like he's not, but I see him watching it.
I know. I just look up and it's something different every time. And I'm like, what is going on? Pat's like, I don't know. I think this is happening. Like, this guy's pregnant. This woman, she's...
this guy is pregnant?
Yeah, there was a pregnant man at one point. Like, it was insane.
What happened? Well, that is interesting. Can we put it on in here, then?
Well, I'm fascinated by this. They're witches, right?
Yes. I don't know. I know Shannon Doherty, Alyssa Milano, and Rose McGowan are like the big three, and I know that like
the big three.
Don't they hate each other in real life?
So what is this, like a Nets situation?
A Nets? Yeah, it's the Nets. You're going to compare Charm to the Nets
with KD.
Well,
you said big three, but it didn't work out. That's the first
Where your mind goes? The Nets? The big three that doesn't work out. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. A big three that just never vibed?
Yeah.
Rose joined the show a little bit later, like 3 years into that run.
Oh, and I'm seeing Holly Marie Combs. I'm unfamiliar with her. I don't know her as much, but yeah. So there you go.
Currently some Romans are being unfrozen from ice blocks.
Oh, classic.
True story.
So wait, is Kevin Durant in this situation Shannon Doherty? Or who's the names that you said?
Well, Shannon Doherty is clearly better elsewhere, right? I mean, Shannon Doherty was amazing as Brenda Walsh on 90210. So if you're going to say Kevin Durant is like Shannon Doherty and then would have been better with the Warriors as part of an ensemble cast.
Never really clicked with Charmed, you know?
Right. Interesting.
I'm saying this, but according to Pat and Javonte, apparently it did click because they were locked in.
Is Shannon Doherty, but I think Alyssa Milano might be more of that, right?
Because she
was great on Who's the Boss.
Yeah, she was great with an ensemble, right? Maybe Shannon Doherty's Kyrie?
Shannon Doherty's Kyrie is amazing.
I don't know that anybody wants to be compared to that, but sorry, Shannon Doherty.
Jeez. And Holly Marie Combs is kind of Harden, like she's there and like.
You don't realize she's there.
She's there, but is she there, you know?
All right, there you go. There's your Charmed update here on Unsportsmanlike.
The big three.
Yeah, the big three. So I mentioned that someone or two players may want out before in. So Deion Sanders, head coach at Colorado, was on with Barstool Sports and said about Shedeur Sanders, his son, and Travis Hunter, the stud two-way player for Colorado. Quote, all this is subjective because I know where I kind of want them to go. This was on Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. And let's not forget Shiloh, that's his other son. But I know where I want them to go. There's certain cities where it ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli Manning. We ain't doing that. So basically what he's saying is he knows exactly where he wants these two on his team to go in next year's draft. And there are some places he doesn't want them to go. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to know what those places are. So let's go with Shedeur specifically. So we're talking about a quarter, and he said he doesn't want them going to cold weather, which is interesting considering they play in Colorado. Where do we think Deion Sanders does not want his son to play?
Hmm. Well, maybe Carolina. Not that that is necessarily in the mix because of Bryce Young, but that feels like a dysfunctional place that you wouldn't want your child to go to. If you had your pick of places, that would feel like one that's not in the mix, right? I don't know if they would be in the market for him, but that's just the first place that comes to mind.
I'm going to tell you, I think he's talking about New England.
Why?
Cold weather. He's close with Brady. I don't know. For some reason, I feel like he does not want his kid to go to New England. It is so interesting. Like, we've speculated this about Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Yet there's no indication that this is actually going to come true with Caleb Williams at all, in any way, shape, or form.
He's basically debunked all that.
Yeah. I mean, he has given us every indication that coming up, what, a month from today, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't the draft a month from today?
Oh, yeah,
that we will be in Detroit for? That I believe he will be taken by the Chicago Bears. I believe he's going to play for the Chicago Bears, and I don't believe he's going to ask out in any way, shape, or form. Yet we are learning now about next year's draft that Deion Sanders is already suggesting that these two stud players will not go to some cities. They will not play for them 1 year in advance of hypothetically who may draft them.
I have very conflicting feelings on Deion's comments about this. My first thought is, so many players are ruined by organizations. And if you have the power and the autonomy to impact your fate and know that you could go to a better place and put yourself or your kid in a better position to have success in the NFL, I'm all for that. But then there's another part of me that thinks, aren't you supposed to be a player that can be transformational? Aren't you supposed to be so good that you can be a Joe Burrow who goes to a place like Cincinnati and makes change? Aren't you supposed to be somebody like CJ Stroud who can go to the Houston Texans, which was a hot mess of a franchise, and change the way we view them completely? Isn't that what we kind of like about the NFL, is that these teams that are in a bad place get an opportunity to get the best players that can change their fortunes and turn the tide?
But Smalls, he specifically referenced one player, and that's Eli Manning. And there's one major thing in common between Eli Manning and Shador Sanders. They don't need money. Mm. Their dads played. Their dads are successful. Their family has money because of earned money, right? That they went out there, and they have an ability to risk more because of the fact, like, oh, what are you going to do, not draft me or draft me lower? Like, other people do not have the money that these guys have, where if, as a result, he will only play for Team X and that team picks 17th and not 7th, and he slips to 17, the difference in dollar figures for the slotted amount will not affect Shador Sanders the way that it would affect someone else. And I think there is, I don't know about Drake May and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and their financial situation relative to their families. I'm going to guess they're not Deion Sanders.
Sure, his position in life and the money that his family has and that he's been able to generate in college maybe gives him more power.
Yes.
In this situation. But then can't you say that about any of these guys coming out of college now with the NIL money that they're commanding? It might not be the same family money or the same fame that comes from their specific family because of who they are and who their dad is, but all of these guys are going to have more power. So who's to say that this isn't a domino effect and that we don't see after these guys do it, other players say, well, I've made millions of dollars in college. I don't need to go to X team and I don't want to play there. I don't like the city. I don't like the complexion of the team. So I'll hold out. And that's not great for the sport.
Maybe. You may be right, but it's you make millions of dollars and have millions of dollars before you made millions of dollars. That's the difference here. Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. See why over 28 million drivers trust Progressive to stay protected on the road. See for yourself at progressive.com. Our ESPN college basketball analyst, Seth Greenberg, will join us next. Talk tourney. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are at the point of a Sweet 16 on the men's side. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you here on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. CC back with us tomorrow. Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst, has been so kind to us during the tourney, has joined us all the time to break everything down, and he joins us now. Seth, let's have you weigh in on the debate that Smalls and I have been having here. She's frustrated, no Cinderellas. I love it because of the fact that we're going to have the best teams compete to win a championship with nobody getting in the way. Where are you on this?
Somewhere in between. Look, I mean, Cinderellas are fine, but in the end, you want the very best teams. And last year, we had Cinderellas. You know, we had the FAUs. We had the San Diego State, which is not really a Cinderella. They're still alive. But the great thing about the NCAA tournament is you earn your way in. And then you, once you get in, you have an opportunity like anyone else. So this year, I don't think it impacts the viewership. I actually think it helps the viewership. I think now we have some teams that we really understand who they are, that we recognize their names. I think they're going to be fiercely competitive. I think the bigger thing is playing styles. What has happened in the NCAA tournament, too? Playing styles and the DNA of rosters. I think that's the interesting thing about this year's NCAA tournament. We're not going to have as many Cinderellas anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because of the transfer portal. Because low majors go to mid-majors, mid-majors go to high majors, and basically the high majors are taking the best players in the mid-majors away, which is basically eliminating the opportunity for that great Cinderella. It's a financial difference. It's just, you know, it's just reality. The transfer portal has changed everything in terms of mid-major basketball. Because if you're a good player in a mid-major, the second your season's over, good chance that your name is in the portal and you're moving to a high major. That's just the reality and the economics of college basketball and college athletics.
Seth, do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing for the game and for the tournament?
I think it's, I mean, Michelle, I think it's just, it's the reality of the business of college athletics today. I think that, you know what, I think that the upsets are great in the first few rounds. I want to see the very best teams going head-to-head competing for a national championship, and that's what's going to happen this year. And in terms of their body of work, not just one moment in time, just one 40-minute game. You know, the thing about the NCAA tournament compared to the NBA, you know, best of seven, all these mid-majors probably would lose, whether it's, you know, 4-3 or 6-2, whatever it is. But the NCAA, that one opportunity, you can own the identity of the game. If you can make some threes, you can take the other team's best player away, you have a chance to win that game. But in the end, is that the best team, or is that a team that had the best game in that moment in time? So I think we're going to see teams that we can relate to. I just think the hardest thing is what I go back to a second ago. Every one of these teams are put together by a rental except for Duke. And what I mean by that is all these teams are put together by an impact transfer, whether it's Tennessee and Connect, whether it's Houston and Cryer, you can go right down. Whether it's Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton at Connecticut, you can go right down the list and you can see the impact of the transfer portal and immediate eligibility on the NCAA tournament.
Seth, more impressive so far, UConn or Purdue?
UConn. But Purdue was good. I like the way Purdue responded yesterday. you know, Utah State made bucket, bucket, bucket. You say, oh, what's going to happen? Are they going to be poised or are they going to panic? And they were poised. And what did they do? They went to Zach, and Zach did what he needed to do. And then when he wasn't doing what he needed to do, he kicked it out. They dominated the glass. Impressive. UConn, because of how their approach is ridiculous. Their approach is ridiculous. A lot has to do with Danny Hurley. I said it the last time we were together. I mean, their preparation, their attention to detail, their physicality, their focus, and the pieces fit. I think this is another lesson we learned. There's one thing about collecting talent. There's another thing about putting together a team. They filled their voids. The other thing is the model of putting together a championship team. Recruit elite players, retain the right players, and then fill in your voids with players from the portal. And that's what Danny Hurley's done. And then how they play, how everyone embraces a role, how everyone celebrates each other, the toughness and the aggressiveness. I thought they threw a knockout punch, bam, right in the first round in both of their games.
Seth, one of the great things about this tournament is that the country becomes aware of players that maybe they haven't watched throughout the regular season. Who to you has been the most impressive player thus far in the tournament?
Well, the guy that made 10 threes was pretty impressive to me. He knocked out the Blues, the Blue Bloods, you know, with big shot after big shot in terms of Gauthier. I thought he was, I mean, that moment, that game, how that game played out was terrific. The other guy that America has learned about, you know, maybe if you're an ACC fan, you knew him, was DJ Burns. I mean, like, goodness gracious, is he going to become a fan favorite? Robbie Alvalo, the guy from Indiana State, might have been DJ Burns if they got in the NCAA tournament. But DJ Burns is the immovable object. I mean, he's probably the toughest matchup in the tournament. I don't think anyone is having more fun than that dude. Like, that dude is just having a blast. I mean, there's like a minute left in the game. It's a close game to get to the Sweet 16. I don't know if you remember the game. They showed the huddle. My man is dancing. He's having a blast.
And that's the team, Seth. I was just going to say, that's the team that a lot of people are saying is the Cinderella. It's hard for me to look at an ACC school as a Cinderella, though.
I agree with you there, but you know, you think they lose their last five games, and then they win five in a row in the ACC tournament, and then they go bam, bam in close games. Another team put together in the portal, retain the right players, and have made this run. But yeah, they're the closest thing, we have to a Cinderella. I actually thought that Yale had a chance, but you know, you're talking about NC State. Let's talk about Clemson. Let's talk about Duke. Let's talk about North Carolina. 4-5 advance to the Sweet 16 in the ACC. All three of the Big East advance to the Sweet 16 in the ACC. The Mountain West is gone. All those six teams are gone. And the Big 12, who I said, maybe they manipulated the net. They have two teams left in the tournament. And I think that's an interesting thing. The bottom of the ACC killed the opportunity for more teams to get in the NCAA tournament. And then I think the Big East was kind of misevaluated a little bit.
Along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you, talking to Seth Greenberg, ESPN college basketball analyst here on Unsportsmanlike.
Seth, which team do you think has the cleanest path to the Final Four?
Man, you know what? I was looking at that last night. I'm not sure anyone has a clean path. So you got to say your ability versus your opponent more than a clean path. Because, I mean, waiting in the wings for Connecticut potentially is Illinois or Iowa State. Two really tough matchups. Waiting in the wings for North Carolina is an Arizona team. Pretty tough. You talk about Houston, they've got Purdue and then a healthy Marquette. Pretty tough. You know, so and then you got Purdue. I would say that Purdue has the smoothest chance to get to the Final Four. They're going to have to face a Tennessee team that can get stuck a little bit. So if I had to pick one, we said at the beginning when the brackets came out, I thought that Purdue had the easiest bracket, and I think it's played out that way.
Seth, let's finish with this. Last time we had you on, you were tremendous in giving the constructive critique to John Calipari in Kentucky about how to get better. And I know, obviously, you're very close with Calipari. Do we expect him to be back at Kentucky next year?
It would be ludicrous if he wasn't, and not just because he's a friend of mine. because he's a very smart guy. And I've said this. I've known Cal since I'm, 18, 19 years old. One of the smartest people in terms of understanding the business of college basketball. A tad bit behind the curve, as we talked about last time, in the transfer portal and the COVID year. And the COVID year is the killer to all these teams, because the COVID year has given everyone an extra year. So these are 22-year-old seniors that maybe are getting a year. Some of these guys are 24 and 25-year-olds. So I thought Cal was a little behind the curve with that. I think he'll fix that. He'll have a new model of his team. They've got to get a little bit tougher. I think he'll be back. Look, Kentucky's got $33 million invested in him. I understand there are wealthy boosters out there, and I understand you could say, well, how would he get paid off the $33 million? I think it'd be really hard to fire John Calipari. I think the funniest thing is, how about they fire John Calipari and he goes over to Louisville and takes his whole team with him?
Oh, my God. What a scenario. You know what? Maybe that's what Louisville's waiting for. Yeah, you think? Yeah. Now I'm hoping that happens just for show purposes. That would be unbelievable.
Hey, that would be worth a week's worth of radio.
Oh, yeah.
A week? We would do every hypothetical of like, okay, what if Dak Prescott goes to the Giants now? And like, we're just doing rival conversation. Love it. Seth, thank you so much. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, during the week.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. There's Seth Greenberg. That's all I'm going to think about now.
Really?
Like, Louisville was trying to get Dusty May from FAU. He goes to Michigan. Shaheen Holloway has been mentioned, Seton Hall head coach, amongst others in the mix. Yeah. Now, if I'm Louisville, I may just wait to see if Calipari gets bounced and hire him. Brilliant. Brilliant. Just like you guys, if you use True Green, because that is going to elevate your lawn game. All you got to do is water your lawn, mow your lawn. True Green is going to do the rest, and it's not going to break the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Well, how would I know that? They're at my house. I've had True Green for years. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, our producer and charmed aficionado, Pat Costello.
Is he our charmed insider?
Our charmed insider. Yeah, our charmed insider. He watches Charmed.
If you need updates on a 20-year-old show, I'm your guy.
Without any sound.
Oh, yeah, I can give you sound. Updates on an older show than that. And if you want to do 90210 trivia.
No one wants that, Evan.
Okay, Pat, over to you. So rude.
It's who out there is dying for 90210 trivia?
Tweet at me at Evco Radio, EVCO Radio, if you love 90210 and would love 90210 trivia. Go ahead.
I can't name a single thing about 90210.
Same.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
All right, go, anyway. Same. Go ahead.
Can we stop fouling when we're down by 10 with 6 seconds left, please? Can we just stop, dude? Just stop. Pull up, guys. It's over. You're not going to win this one. You're not going to pull it out. I'm sorry. And I promise, no one's going to think you're quitting. Just, it's okay to accept that you lost the game. Can we please stop? Drives me crazy. Like, just let the clock run out. Why are we still fouling?
It drives you crazy that they're caring until the end?
They're not going to win. You know you're not going to win. The game's
there's
over.
There's something way more than that. It's about the gamblers, right? I mean, like, that probably drives people crazy, depending on the spread, over under, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But like, now that gambling is as prominent as it is, shout out ESPN Bet if you want to go anywhere to gamble, that is your place. But that is part of this, Pat. Great response. Okay,
I thought you were going to keep. I thought there was more.
When I say that's part Pat, of it, Pat is like kind of throwing it back to you.
It's usually a cue.
Yeah,
yeah. The way you stopped your sentence, I thought you weren't done talking.
No, go ahead. Okay. Next one.
I think it's really weird to be like a huge diehard fan of a college you didn't attend. I've always thought this is strange. Like, it's strange to me to be like a giant Alabama fan if you didn't go to Alabama.
Nuno, Jovante, Smalls, notice he does this when CeCe is not here today and back tomorrow, and CeCe is now a Michigan fan, and he went to Virginia.
Nuno likes UNC. He didn't go there.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. I'm going to give him an out.
And CeCe's wife went to Michigan, so it's in the family.
All right, so my dad went to Queens College in New York.
Okay.
He's a huge Wisconsin fan because I went there. His school didn't have sports.
Well, that's different because he had a family member go there, so he has an emotional tie to them.
But Nuno, if I'm not mistaken, went to a smaller school that doesn't have some of the sports, correct?
Well, It has basketball, but Sacred Heart has won a Division II title years ago. But yeah, so Pat, I just don't like your theory. It just sucks.
No one with Pat. I think Pat is talking about, like, I know people that's from Michigan and they're Ohio State fans.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Well, where'd they go to school?
It wasn't Ohio State. It was in Michigan.
If you go to a community college.
But still, Ohio State, like, that's weird. And you live in Michigan.
In the state of Michigan, that's weird.
Yeah, I mean, you guys don't find it weird to, like, be a huge fan of a team that you have no, like, real connection to, or, like, it's okay. A place you didn't graduate from? I find that so strange.
I have a really good friend from high school, Shane. He watches the show every day. Shout out to Shane. He grew up a huge Michigan football fan, and he wrestled at a different college. He did not...
Small school or big school?
I think at Eastern Illinois. And so he grew up loving Michigan, and he didn't go there, so he still carries that love with him and celebrated big time when Michigan won the title this year.
You're onto something. I think what you're eliminating, Pat, is the concept that as a kid, you want to have a college team.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, your college team is either based on location or where family members went and where you get free gear from as a kid. And thus, by the time you go to college, you may not be interested in academically or socially going to that school. So I actually think you're wrong on that.
Or where do you get in?
Right, Nuno, when you were growing up, was there a reason you loved UNC so much?
Well, I grew up in Connecticut, but UConn wasn't any good when I was growing up.
Front runner.
And when I started actually liking and getting into basketball, it was what was on TV. It was what was on ESPN. It was UNC. UConn, I think, by that time, when I was like in seventh grade, won an NIT title and then started becoming a thing. But that's where I got that love. I will say, I do know people, and I think this is a little ridiculous, that they root for like Syracuse in basketball and like Michigan and football.
I'm
like,
oh, yeah.
That's a Northeast thing, specifically with those two schools. Nuno's 1,000% right, because I grew up in New York. He grew up in Connecticut. So many kids that we grew up with, exactly like he just said.
You can't do that.
But that's the way Nuno's never been more right in his life than what he just said.
Wait,
brilliant.
But if you have no connection to either, then how come you can't root for two separate? That doesn't make any sense.
I can't explain the why behind some of this, but the Big East, when Nuno and I were growing up, was humongous, right? And Syracuse was the team that a lot of times we got on TV, that or St. John's.
Hmm.
Are you side-eyeing me, or you just can't actually turn your body because of the camera situation right now?
Probably both.
Both. Okay, good. And there's no situation with the camera. There's a situation with us, I should say. Next one, Pat.
I feel like rom-coms have completely dropped off. When's the last time we got a great rom-com? Like,
totally right.
We had an era in like 2005 to 2015-ish where we were just ripping out these amazing rom-coms all the time, and we just don't get them now. I don't know what happened.
I watched a trailer on Netflix for the new Lindsay Lohan movie, Irish something or other.
Okay.
I'll probably watch it at some point just because of me, but... I wouldn't say it's
the best. You don't even know the name of it.
Yeah, it's Irish something. And Aisha Curry, Steph Curry's wife, is in the movie.
Yeah, that's going to be a no for me, dog. I definitely won't be watching that.
Thanks, Randy.
I am really with you on this one, Pat, because there was such an incredible stretch of rom-coms. Where is the How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days of the world? Where is the She's All That? It feels like everything now is just a remake of something else, and it's done poorly.
Well, they did remake She's All That.
I know.
With Addison Rae.
I didn't watch it. We didn't need that. We don't need a remake of that. Can't you come up with a great rom-com plot on your own? I know people were saying that Sydney Sweeney one that just came out was pretty good, but I don't think it's as iconic as rom-coms once were.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody's going to see that because of the rom-com element of it if Sydney Sweeney's in it. I'm just saying. Next one, Pat?
Oh, great. Kick it to me. Thanks.
I don't have any follow-ups on that.
I hate the term that there are no dumb questions, because there are lots of dumb questions and they bother me all the time, and they're especially dumb on social media. Social media has the dumbest questions in the history of questions most of the time. People are endlessly stupid, and I'm super over it on social media.
Do you have an example?
I do not.
Question. Okay.
It's just constant.
Okay.
Dumb question. Are there any dumb questions?
As someone who asks a lot of dumb questions, I can attest to this.
I'm trying to now think of your previous one, the last great rom-com that I saw. One of my favorite movies ever, The Intern, Anne Hathaway, and Robert De Niro. I don't even know if that's considered a rom-com. She was at the Hawks game this weekend. I don't know why.
Anne Hathaway?
Yeah.
Shout out to Annie.
Yeah. What was the last great rom-com? People could tweet at us, at UnsportsESPN.
The last great rom-com.
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Well, now,
maybe it's a dumb question.
Well, now I'm racking my brain, and I don't know what movies came out when. Like, I want to throw some into the mix, but I don't know the release dates. Let me do some research in the break.
We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.